Morning with Stacey Brotzel and Daryl McIntyre on 630 CHED, presented by Abe's Door Service, with 24/7 emergency service where you speak to an actual person. Visit abesdoor.ca.
So this is how things go behind the scenes when you pull back the curtain of This Morning with Stacey and Daryl. You don't want to share this? This is funny.
I don't care.
I think it's funny. So we're in day 7 of the all new This Morning. Who's starting? We both go, I don't know.
No, I stepped up and said, I'll start. Yeah. I'll start talking. And then you started talking. So really, I guess it doesn't really matter what I say.
Apparently I'm pushing.
All right.
Oh, please. You need to meet Ms. Brotzel. I don't have a chance. Let's go with that.
All right. Okay.
So let's calm. We need some tone.
I think we need you need to calm down, my friend. You mentioned that this is day 7 for me, and learning things every day on this show, and you know, I've been in the business for 30 years, and this is something I had never heard about: the International Harp Therapy Program. We're being played in here. I love this. Wow, that sounds beautiful.
That just took care of all my
I know, edge. Right? It's like the Calm app right here in the studio. Oh. Cheryl Dahlmer is a certified therapeutic harp practitioner through the International Harp Therapy Program. Good morning, and thank you so much for bringing your harp in with you today.
Well, thank you for having me, and yes, it's carbon fiber, so it's very light. I haul this thing around all over the place.
Yeah, you were throwing it around. You said it weighs about 10 pounds?
About 10 pounds, as opposed to my wooden harp, which weighed about 45 pounds.
Well, and this is not a wee harp. This is not a little hand harp that you might see on, you know, in a picture. This is a full stand-up.
This is, and I'm lucky I can use it for therapeutic purposes because it's light. I do have a smaller, what we call a therapy harp, but the sound just isn't the same. Mm-hmm. And I can quietly go into bedside into a room and step out after I'm done.
And that's what you do, right?
That's what I do.
So tell us about what a therapeutic harpist is.
Okay. Well, we're trained to provide prescriptive therapeutic music for whatever's happening at that moment, because we can walk into a room and have to assess what's needed here at this moment. So if someone is in pain, or if someone is very anxious, or if someone is on their end of life journey. And so that's how, I guess, the difference between, if you think of a physiotherapist and a massage therapist, the physiotherapist would be like the music therapist. And there are people who train for, you know, 4 years, get a degree to provide ongoing outcomes for a patient. So they probably work in a hospital or some kind of a center, whereas we can, it could be different all the time. Where do we end up?
Yeah. That sounds like it might be hard, but instead of having it be hard, do you see the benefits and then and sort of the comfort?
Oh, absolutely. Because of the nature of this instrument, the harp, and the long strings, and the amount of vibration that comes off it, it can be measured, and you can see it with your eyes in a patient or someone who's anxiously breathing. You'll see their respiration rate come down. If you're in a hospital and they have the, you know, the beeping monitors, you will see the heart rate decrease, even the brain waves relaxing. So it's quantifiable, and there's lots of research. But yes, we do see in a you know, it could take 10 minutes or so, and you'll see things start to calm down. And it's very rewarding.
I bet you're directly seeing the product of your work. You've gone into some pretty, you know, interesting situations, I'm sure. Yes. Especially around Alzheimer's patients. I have a history of that in my family,
yes.
Tell me about how it works.
I was in a memory care unit after I graduated. That was part of my internship. And so you would see a lot of things. You would see everything from someone, I had a lady who was literally ripping her curtains down. She was so anxious, and so that's part of it, right? And afraid, and everything was just off. And so I just went in, and you meet them where you are. So I started playing something quite, you know, a faster pace, and then she'd kind of turn around and look at me, and then gradually I'm bringing things down and changing the mode of the music, because we work with modes. And finally she was sitting down with me and humming along. And so you see that, you see a fear, you see anger, and then you see as people really decline and head into their end of life. So I've seen that all in sort of the memory care unit, and that's what led me to working in hospice, as I thought, you know, there's also a need for people on their end-of-life journey, but not just them, for the family in the room.
I'm fascinated also by that you meet them where they're at, and you said you started to play a more active kind. Can you just give us a little sample of what you mean by what would be a more active, and then you sort of watch and then change your tone as they go?
So I would sort of start in a... and get her attention, right? And then she's kind of looking at me, and then I might go down to an Aeolian mode. And then we'd end up happy. So it might take, it might not be that quick, but, and I think at one point we started singing, I've been working on the railroad, right? And then...
a famous harp tune.
Yeah, famous harp tune. And then she ended up saying, you know, my family used to be in the choir in South Africa, you know, and so that's what it does. So that's one visual thing you see right away.
So evoking memories, evoking and so, a past with the harp music.
Yes, and that's where I found out from her that she sang in a choir. And her sister. And so then I have all kinds of music that I'll either bring or have on the iPad that's a hymn. And then it's like, okay, found out where she needs to be. And then with the group, I'll play for a group of patients in their room, you know, where they sit at after lunch. And we'll do some of the old wartime songs, because they were, a lot of them were in their later years, right? So Let Me Call You Sweetheart, some of the older songs, Elvis, they all love.
Well, I'm sorry.
You have to play Elvis.
You have to play Elvis on the harp. You've got to pick an Elvis tune. Had to be Love Me Tender. I didn't think Heartbreak Hotel was going to work.
No, and so you will find, sort of based on when, as Stacy, you probably know, when they were in love and happy, so probably back in the 40s and 30s even. And so you would work that music in a group setting and in their room sometimes. If they're not coming out, the staff will say, could you go to Catherine's room, because she hasn't been coming out.
So people can hire you. So if they have a loved one that perhaps might be in need of your service, you'll go to their bedside and...
I can have Harp
comfort.
Will travel with Harp in hand. But the bulk of my time is spent at the St. Albert Foyer-Lacombe Hospice and at Pilgrim's Hospice. And so with both places, they're set up with a room that I can play in to get there and just bring the whole building and all the staff into a place of calm. And then they'll say, could you go to room 8? Could you go to room 9? And then I'll do individual rooms that way as well.
You know, I'm curious as to how you started this. Where did you start playing, especially in hospice, especially with leading, you know, I guess maybe it ended up with end of life care or seeing where the possibilities were, but how did you begin it?
You know, when I started taking lessons from Terry McDade, I don't know if you know about them.
Oh, the McDade family, absolutely, yes.
And he said, you know, there's a couple of other women. Why don't you guys form a harp circle? So that's kind of where it started in about 2002. And two of the ladies were in the International Harp Therapy Program. So Bev Ross, who's at the University Hospital, and Lois Lund, who was at the Glenrose. And so they said, well, we're taking this program. We're going down to San Diego. You have to do some in person as well. And I thought, you know, that when you play the harp, you just feel that there's got to be something else besides just playing it for, you know, for fun.
For fun, yeah.
And as that sort of developed, you know, your path sort of becomes clear and things fall into place. And that's exactly what happened. So
I'm curious, you mentioned vibrations. Mm-hmm. And I know cats, they can heal with their purr.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if
they're the same.
Is it?
Yep. It's all about, what did Tesla say? Energy, vibration, and frequency. That's everything. And so a string, like this is middle C, but there's overtones to this one string. It can also be an octave higher. So you're getting multiple overtones from the harp strings, which is one of the reasons it works so well in as a healing modality or a sound healing. So yes, the frequency of sound and our own voices. We all should hum and sing all the time. It's good for your body.
Can you just play us into a commercial break? Because we'd love to talk to you a little bit more before we let you go, you and your harp. So this is Cheryl Dahmer. She is an harp therapist in part of the International Harp Therapy Program. I've got lots more questions for her. See, we were so anxious when we began this segment, or so wound up. Now I'm not. If you're driving, please focus. Back in a moment.
Abe's Door Service, where service is their specialty. Proud sponsor of This Morning with Stacey Brotzel and Daryl McIntyre on 630 CHED.
Welcome back. We are hanging out with Cheryl Dahmer, a certified therapeutic harp practitioner, and a lot of text messages on the line. This one, this has made my morning. My mom had Alzheimer's and I would hire a music therapist, and I would also take music to her care unit and entertain the residents. If you want to see the power of music with people living with dementia, I would highly recommend watching the documentary Alive Inside, or just sort of follow you around for the day.
Yes,
it could work.
It could work. I could put this on wheels.
You could be the pied harper of Edmonton.
Yeah,
carry people around.
There's also requests for AC/DC.
Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah,
how does music therapy work? Like, how does that work? What connects with people? Is there some way to quantify that?
Yes. So there's basically five things that we need to have in our process when we approach someone, where whatever that is, whether it's in a memory care unit in the hospital or in hospice. And the first thing is the mood of the listener. So the person that's laying there, how are they? And we had mentioned this. Mm-hmm. Agitated? Yeah. Are they depressed? Are they near the end of their life journey? From that, we kind of then move into what kind of tempo of music do we need to provide at that time, because we know it's going to affect.
And those are minute-by-minute decisions, I'm
assuming. These are very quick decisions, yeah, so that we can help them with their breathing or their heart rate or their anxiety. Then their resonant tone, and we all have a resonant tone, and it may differ. And if you wake up in the morning and go, ah, that's sort of your tone. And you'll notice if you hum that tone, you will feel good. And that's something we listen for in whoever we're playing for, so that we can play in that key. So that's important to discover that. And then their preferred musical genre. So though we may be improvising within a mode, we still want to include something that they can relate to. And even if it's country music or a hymn or something.
So you're constantly learning music then.
Yeah, and I carry around a lot of music. And sometimes, though, I will go into a room, and the other day I walked into a room and there was a couple, and he was ready to pass. And I just thought, for some reason, I want to play Unchained Melody. So I did. And the partner, he just he looked at me with this look, and then the tears started to flow, and he said,
"Oh, you nailed the song."
From our favorite movie, and it happened with Claire de Lune, the daughter who was in the room with her mother who was passing. She said, "I walked down the aisle to that song." Mm. So that happens. Yeah. Some you become intuitive, and we also then you have to find that intention, and you just open your heart and play for someone. And I can't explain it. A lot of interesting things happen.
Cheryl Dahmer, it has been so awesome having you in studio. Thank you for playing
for
us.
Would you like me to play you out?
I think so. We're going to go I don't know if there's traffic sound, if there's a traffic song, but we all need to calm down. Cheryl Dahmer is a certified therapeutic harp practitioner through the International Harp Therapy Program. It's been great having you on here today.
Thank you.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.